past several weeks, our journey through the Bible has taken us through some of the most significant stories in Genesis. And with each story, we're learning more about God, and we're learning more of what God expects out of us. Now, today's scripture reading comes from the 33rd chapter of Genesis, and it has an important lesson for us to learn. It invites us to choose reconciliation over hostility and revenge. And we see this in the story of Jacob and Esau. These twin brothers seem to have been at each other's throats their whole lives. They just didn't get along. And Jacob seems to be the reason for a lot of that. He was constantly tricking and cheating his brother Esau, which infuriated him to the point that their relationship looked like it was broken beyond the hope of repair. So let's turn now to our scripture passage. Again, I'll be reading out of Genesis chapter 33, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open to that passage, or you can simply follow along on the screen. Again, it's Genesis 33, verses 1 through 11. Let's listen now to these words of scripture. Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. He put the maids with their children in front, then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the maids drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And finally Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met?" And Jacob answered, "To find favor with my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please. If I find favor with you, then accept my present from my hand. For truly to see your face is like seeing the face of God, since you have received me with such favor. Please accept my gift that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have everything I want." So he urged him, and he took it. Amen. Red Auerbach coached the Boston Celtics in the 1950s and 60s, and he once said, "Show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser." Now, that attitude seems pervasive in many areas of life, and I think that's because nobody wants to lose. That's evident in the rivalries we see at work and at school, in sports and at home. And I think some of the most intense rivalries happen between siblings. Now, if you have a brother or sister, you may have experienced this for yourself. Some sibling rivalries are playful and healthy. I think about the Harbaugh brothers. Jim and John Harbaugh seem like they have a relatively friendly relationship as two successful football coaches. That friendly relationship was even evident when they met in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. But what stands out to me is that they genuinely respect each other. And John has even called his brother, quote, "the best coach in football." But I think there are many other examples of siblings not getting along with each other. Some siblings sue each other over money or defamation. Others choose to not even talk to their siblings for decades. Cleopatra is said to have had a hand in the deaths of 3 of her siblings. Mary and Anne Boleyn feuded with each other over King Henry VIII's affections. Adolf and Rudolf Dassler were two brothers who feuded so much that they had to split up their shoemaking business, which coincidentally led to the creation of Adidas and Puma. Now, the book of Genesis is also full of stories of brothers and sisters who competed with each other and fought against each other. We see this first with Cain and Abel, and then right after them comes the story of Ishmael and Isaac. Now, Ishmael was Abraham's first son, born to Abraham's Egyptian slave Hagar. And over time, a bitter rivalry formed between Hagar and Abraham's wife Sarah and their sons. Hagar and Ishmael were treated horribly, whereas Sarah and Isaac were treated like the favorites. Now, eventually, God intervened and made it clear that even though Abraham and Sarah refused to love Hagar and Ishmael, God loved them. God would care for them. Now, many years later, Abraham's grandson, Jacob, was in a constant battle with his twin brother, Esau. And this rivalry apparently began at birth with Jacob grabbing the heel of his brother, Esau. From that moment forward, these two brothers struggled with each other. And their struggle, I think, was due in large part to Jacob's greed, because Jacob was always wanting what wasn't his. Jacob believed that God loved him more than his brother. And because of this, Jacob was always taking advantage of the people around him. He was a trickster. He was a master of deception. And he always seemed to get preferential treatment from his parents until the day when Esau became furious with him. See, matters got so bad that Jacob had to flee for his life, and he didn't return home for a very long time. And while these two brothers lived apart, Jacob became a very successful person. He married two sisters named Leah and Rachel, but he made it clear that Rachel was the favorite. And it seems like favorites always get treated better, right? Well, that was certainly the case with Rachel. But Leah's story ends up way happier than anyone would have expected, because she became the mother of six of Jacob's 12 sons. And so in the years that Jacob married and expanded his family, he'd become rich and successful. And he eventually decided to return to his hometown. And as he traveled back home, he learned that he would cross paths with his brother Esau, whom he'd not seen in years. He was actually terrified of this. He was full of fear because he knew that he had wronged his brother. Time and time again, he had tricked Esau. And among other things, he had stolen his brother's birthright and taken a blessing away from him that his father intended for Esau. See, Jacob had lived his entire life by deceiving people. But now, on his way back home, he saw no way around Esau. He would finally have to face him. And he had so much anxiety over this that on the night before they were to meet, he couldn't sleep. Jacob was up all night long wrestling with God. We've all had moments like that, haven't we? We've all struggled with something so intensely that we couldn't sleep. And our struggle felt like a battle was going on with God. We were wrestling with the Lord to get what we want or to insist on our own way, or maybe we just didn't want to change an old habit. But God wouldn't leave us alone. It was like God had us in a headlock and wouldn't let us go. I think this is what Jacob experienced. And when morning finally arrived, he emerged as a changed man. And there were two clear signs of this change. First, he was given a new name. He was given the name Israel. And Israel means the one who wrestled with God. And the second change is that he received a hip injury that left him with a limp for the rest of his life. And that was a reminder of that night of struggle. That struggle actually prepared him to finally meet his brother. The old Jacob would have tricked Esau, but not now. The new Jacob brought gifts to his brother as a way of honoring him. And instead of taking what wasn't his, Jacob freely shared what he had. This was a sign that he had finally let go of his greed. Of course, when these two brothers finally met, when they finally came face to face, Esau had an opportunity to retaliate for all the ways he had been wronged in the past. And he could have gotten his revenge. He could have made Jacob pay for all the dirty tricks he had played. But Esau surprised everyone. He had let go of his anger. And verse 4 tells us that Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Esau made it clear that he wasn't angry with his brother. He didn't hold any grudges. He didn't desire revenge. And he didn't require any gifts to be appeased. All Esau wanted was to be reconciled to his brother. And that touched Jacob's heart. Jacob was so moved by what happened that he said in verse 10, "For truly to see your face is like seeing the face of God, since you have received me with such favor." Jacob had finally learned to see the face of God, or we might say the image of God, in the person they had previously tricked and despised. He encountered God's grace through his brother Esau. Now, this is a beautiful story of reconciliation, but sibling rivalry would rear its ugly head again in the next generation. Now, Jacob had 12 sons, but one son, Joseph, was hated by all the other brothers. And the problem was rooted in the fact that Joseph was favored over the others, which is a recurring theme that we see in Genesis. We see favoritism with Sarah over Hagar, Isaac over Ishmael, Jacob over Esau, Rachel over Leah, and once again with Joseph. Now the brothers resented Joseph because their father treated him like the favorite. He was even given a special coat, and the other brothers were jealous. And so these brothers eventually made plans to kill their younger brother. But then at the last minute, they had a change of heart and they decided to sell him as a slave to some Egyptian merchants. Now this turned Joseph's life upside down. His life became miserable. He faced a number of obstacles and setbacks and hardships. And yet, despite all that, he eventually rose to a position of honor and power in the court of the Egyptian pharaoh. And he proved to be an effective and wise administrator. Now, a time came when a great famine had impacted the whole region that they were living in. People were hungry. And the word on the street was that Egypt had food. So Joseph's brothers left their home in hope that they would find some help in Egypt. And during their trip there, something surprising happened. Something surprising happened when they encountered their brother Joseph in a chance meeting. Joseph actually recognized his brothers first, and that gave him the opportunity to get revenge on them for the awful way they had treated him. But just like Esau, Joseph made a different choice. He had the power, keep in mind, to enslave his brothers or even to have them killed, but he didn't do that. He chose to forgive them. Now, he didn't gloat over their misfortunes, and he didn't rub their noses in it. He realized that God had blessed him so that he might save his family. And in doing this, Joseph was reflecting the image of God by acting with grace and kindness instead of with revenge. The face of God was visible in the way he lived his life. Esau and Joseph both faced rejection by their brothers, and yet in the end, they're the ones in whom the face of God is seen. They're the ones who live with grace and forgiveness. They're the ones who show us how God expects us to act. Now, in all the biblical stories about sibling rivalries that I've mentioned this morning, we learn that God gives blessings and power and favor, not to privilege one person over another, but for the purpose of helping and serving others. And we see in each of these stories that the weaker sibling or the one who's not favored is still loved deeply by God. God keeps showing up in the lives of those who are rejected. Now, in these stories about sibling rivalries, we also see God working for reconciliation. And that same theme is seen in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. In that story, you'll remember, it's the father who runs out to welcome his runaway son. And you remember what he did? He hugs him. He kisses him. And he chooses to act with grace and kindness instead of punishing him. The father chose to live with reconciliation. And all of this reminds us of the way Esau went out and hugged and kissed his brother Jacob. Now, rivalries and conflicts are a part of life. It happens in families, and it happens in our community. It happens at work and at school and sometimes at church. And we all know what it's like to be wronged because people have hurt us with their words or their actions or both. But if we want people to see the face of God in us, we must choose to live with grace and kindness over hostility. We must choose to live with reconciliation over revenge. And when we choose to live like this, we're then able to see God in the people in whom we've seen as rivals and as enemies. Now, choosing to live like this is powerful, it's transformative, and it's life-giving, which is exactly how Jesus calls his followers to live. And that can change the world. It's what God did for us through Jesus. We have been reconciled through Christ. The Apostle Paul took that message to the Corinthian church, which was a church riddled with conflict, controversies, and rivalries. In chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote this. He says, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us." Paul encouraged the Corinthians to choose reconciliation over anger and hostility and revenge. And we're given that same choice. So will you choose today to live with grace over hostility? Will you choose to live with reconciliation over revenge? Will you choose to reflect the face of God in the way you live your life? Would you bow your heads and join me in prayer? Oh God, we know we're a lot like Jacob and Esau. We face conflicts and rivalries in life, and there are times when we've been hurt and wronged and mistreated. In times like this, our initial response may be full of anger and resentment, along with a desire for revenge. But Jacob and Esau have shown us today that you want us to choose reconciliation over hostility, which is exactly what you have done for us through Jesus Christ. And so we pray today, Lord, that we would choose to follow your way and reflect your face to others by living with grace and kindness, especially at those moments when we've been mistreated. We pray for your help because we want your face to be seen in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our band will lead us in some more music in just a moment. I'll be in the back of the room if any of you would like to come back there to pray with me or to share with me how you are responding to the way God is working in your life at this moment. But let's stand now and we'll continue with our worship.